Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Gary Bentley's here, ladies and gentlemen. Gary's a new friend, and he's known as the Alabama Turtle Farmer. That's right. And so he's been an entrepreneur in his life. He still is. He's been up. He's been down. He's been poor. He's been rich. He says rich is better. He's the co-author of Million Dollar Turtles, and I've asked him to join us to talk to us a little bit about his life and about turtles. Gary Bentley, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me this morning.
Good to have you here, Gary. So you've been up, you've been down. You've been poor, you've been rich. Rich is better, right?
Well, I like it better.
So talk to us about your background. I know in your book you talk about having started out, you had a tough life, you had a dysfunctional family, and you wound up in a foster home, several foster homes, right?
Yes, sir. I ended up growing up in three different foster homes.
Yeah. And,
life was pretty tough starting out.
Were you an only child?
No, sir. I had six siblings.
Wow. Were you around them growing up?
For the first 9 years.
Yeah. After that,
after we went into foster homes, we got split up, moving around.
That's tough. That's tough to happen to anybody. So then you got split up into foster homes, and did you grow up? Then you became an adult out of foster homes.
Yes, sir. I aged out.
Yeah. Uh huh. And then what did you do?
Well, back then, the economy is pretty tough, so it was kind of hard to get a job, even a minimum wage job. You needed some pull.
Right.
But we started working on growing up on my own.
Mm-hmm. So you had worked a number of jobs, and at what point in time did you decide, you know what, I need to do something on my own? And maybe we're feeling a little of the entrepreneurial sap rising in your bark. When was that?
Well, I'd always wanted to work for myself, and but I didn't know how. I wish I had had this book to give me a little insight. It was kind of tough, learning all the different directions.
Right.
There's so much to business and such a big picture to business that just saying I want to be in business is a little bit tougher than that.
That's a good lesson right there for everybody, isn't it?
Yes, sir. So you got to start figuring out what you need to work on and be honest about that and what parts of business you want to be in to find out what you want to work on.
Mm-hmm. Do you like the idea of crawl, walk, run? Start slow and grow gradually? Bootstrap your business, that kind of thing?
Well, if you don't have any money and you're not real smart, that's a good way to start.
It's the only way. I can relate. I can relate, Gary. So, so you were in the restaurant business, right, for a while?
Yes, sir. I started out in retail management and wanted to get in business. And, I thought, well, if I could just get in business, I could make this work.
Right.
Well, it didn't work out. So.
Mm-hmm. How many times did you fail?
Well, I failed several times, but the first real business venture I went in was restaurant business.
Yeah.
And the decisions I made before I got in it, I was pretty much bankrupt before I even got in.
That's what a lot of people don't realize about restaurants. Is there anything harder to do than being in a restaurant business? I don't think so.
Well, you got to have a lot of capital. It takes a lot of payroll. You have, the food will go out of date on you. You can lose.
Right.
You got to watch
payroll. You got to watch things by the quarter penny, right? Not even the dollar. You got to watch them by the quarter penny. So then you decided. At what point in time did you latch onto the idea of turtles?
Well, I latched on turtle idea in 98, and it just kind of came out of nowhere. I was actually in Hong Kong. I used to do freshwater mussels.
Right, you were exporting mussels. That was one of the business you were in, right?
Yes, sir. And I exported those overseas, and they use the mussels in cultural pearl industry.
Right.
So the mussel business has started in a downcline, and I was in Hong Kong at a pearl watch show. I was interested in importing cultured pearls.
Were you successful in the mussel business? Were you being
I did do good in the
mussel
business.
You did well in that? Okay. All right.
It was very hard work.
Yeah. And, were you diving for the mussels yourself, or getting the, or growing them, or what were you doing?
Well, I started out diving,
mm-hmm.
and then I started out diving all day, and I'd come in the evening and buy from the other catchers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then I started coming in the evening, buying from the other catchers, processing them on the weekend, and exporting them myself.
Boy, that sounds like a small business right there. We've all been there in our own way. So you're in Hong Kong, and what happened in Hong Kong to get you connected to turtles?
Well, like I said, I didn't have any idea about turtles, but I knew we had turtles in the U.S., and I knew we had turtles on the river where I got the shells.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in Hong Kong on the pearls, I noticed a pile of turtle shells behind a restaurant in Hong Kong, and one of my customers in Japan was with me, and he spoke Chinese, and I got an opportunity for him to translate between me and the restaurant owner, and I realized it was a world market at that time.
They were buying turtles and eating them.
Yes, sir.
Making turtle soup. Turtle soup is good.
Turtle soup is real big in the wintertime when it's cold in China.
Yeah. So did that make you think, well, I can sell them turtles. I can export turtles while I'm exporting mussels.
Well, when I found out there was a world market, I got interested. And on the plane back from Hong Kong to Chicago, I got to thinking. And from there, I started researching and finding out everything I could about the world market on China, on turtles, and the rest of the world are pet turtles. We ship anywhere from Germany to Seoul, South Korea.
Right. So the turtles you're exporting now are not turtles you eat, right? They're the little pet turtles.
No, sir. We ship baby turtles, but they also go to China and go in indoor growing ponds.
Okay, so you ship baby turtles, some of them are pets, and some of them are eaten.
That's right.
And which turtle is your primary turtle?
Our primary turtle is the common snapping turtle, mm-hmm. and that's the food turtle for the China food market.
Right. Which when people think of pet turtles, though, they don't think of snapping turtles. They think of the little green turtle, right?
Exactly.
With a little mm-hmm. yeah. So that's not. So some people actually keep pet snapping turtles.
Yes, sir. Snapping turtles actually make very good pets, but the problem is they grow very big.
They get big, and they'll snap your finger off, right?
Yes, sir.
They're amazingly strong. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Gary, I need your website, please.
It's alabamaturtlefarmer.com.
Alabamaturtlefarmer.com. When we come back, I'm going to ask Gary if there's someone named the Tennessee Turtle Farmer or the Utah Turtle.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.